Hello, Synod and Chairs. I'm Jailo, and I'm here today representing the Survivors Reference Group, the SRG. Survivors who have been trying to work cooperatively and proactively with the Church in recent years. We don't claim to represent the views of all survivors, but we do believe that all survivors should be heard. And we feel perhaps that it's a shame that only 20 minutes has been allocated to survivors' voices at this synod when safeguarding is so high on the agenda. It is survivors and our persistence in seeking truth and justice who have brought the Church to this point today. ICSA only came about after decades of abuse, denial, cover-up, and re-victimisation of survivors. Recommendations from ICSA go so far, but are not the end of the story. Talk of the Church apologising to survivors seems to us to be just more words. ICSA stated that lasting change will require more than platitudes. And at present, many bishops are hiding behind what we've seen as the centralised contrition by two archbishops, which in effect allows the rest of the senior layer to hide behind a fire blanket. Genuine apology must show genuine repentance and atonement. This should include, we feel, ownership of all the many re-abusive harms that have been visited upon survivors and a public act of penance. There must be real accountability. Despite all of the reviews, reports, inquiries, and even after ICSA, nobody in authority has been prosecuted, really held to account, or even really disciplined over failures to protect, covering up, or the appalling treatment of survivors. So the SRG calls for real ownership of such bad behaviours as disclosure denial and walking away, silencing, gaslighting, distancing, dishonesty and complicity with corruption. Some of us have already started calling for published letters of apology, and some of us believe that resignations for some of these behaviours are appropriate. The culture of the Church won't change until there is real accountability, and that accountability stretches or should stretch across the highest level of the Church. There must be genuine and heartfelt commitment to never letting all of this happen again. As for other recommendations, when operational responsibility for safeguarding is removed from bishops, they still retain statutory and should retain moral responsibility and accountability for failures. It should not be a get-out-of-jail-free card. When the DSA structure is made accountable to an independent body, the NST also must be made fully accountable and subject to external oversight. We have a fear that a huge new bureaucratic and expensive structure will be created with a new NCI, National Church Institute, with even more layers of increasing complexity, which does little to improve effectiveness. Keep it simple. Genuine external independent oversight. Remove the national safeguarding team from the control of Archbishop's Council, comms, layer, lawyer, management layer. The NST will need to be redesigned after years of what we perceive as control, manipulation, and poor practice from within church house culture. And this should involve serious input from survivors. Part of atonement is the redress scheme, and we acknowledge that the interim support scheme is already up and running. But this is just a lifeboat to prevent survivors drowning whilst waiting for the actual redress scheme. And we are conscious that the interim support scheme has already begun to move considerably from the lead bishop's statement about it in Church Times. So there is much work that is needing to be doing all the time. The final scheme must be properly resourced and funded. ICSA recognised the lifelong impact of abuse. I'm going to say that again. The lifelong impact of abuse and the needs of survivors. And so the church must too. You're looking at lifelong impact here, incidentally. We urge you to end association with the lawyers and other agents and reputational launderers and so forth who have already brought survivors much harm and the church much reputational damage through unethical and dishonest tactics. Letters from survivors about this have already gone to the lead bishops. We feel that you have a moral duty not only to your own survivors, but to others as well, to ensure that these lawyers and insurers are held to account for their unethical practices. We believe you should call on them to help repair the damage by paying substantially into your redress scheme. And crucially, we say that redress must include all who have previously gone through this broken system. But redress is more than that. Redress also needs to involve reconciliation. And this too must be survivor-centred. Restorative justice, when asked for, and even if not, restorative justice offered. So we believe that the church should set up a truth and reconciliation process. The whole of the redress scheme and the restorative justice scheme, all of these things which add to the repair of lives in the face of often catastrophic loss, loss of housing, loss of jobs, loss of pension, loss of income, and loss of savings that we are aware many people live with. All of these things must be designed, as Jane and Roz said, in full co-production with survivors. And that survivor input and expertise must be properly resourced and remunerated. We're aware that there are synod elections next year, and we look forward to support from new members. And at this point, I'd like to thank our synod members who have stood with us in the fight for truth and justice. You know who many of them are. Some of us would not be here today without your encouragement and support in facing down systemic cruelty and corruption. I'll end where I started. Implementing the ICSA recommendations will only go part of the way to improving things. A clear majority of survivors support the introduction of well-designed mandatory reporting within the statutory framework so that knowledge or concerns about abuse of children in regulated activities must, not should, must be reported to the statutory authorities with legal consequences for failure to do so. If synod members are unsure what mandatory reporting involves, we'd urge and encourage you to look at the Mandate Now website, Mandate Now, which outlines a very full, simple, clear introduction to MR, as it's often known. If the church officially gets behind the call for MR, which is almost certainly likely to be one of the recommendations at the close of ICSA next year, then the church can use its power and its influence to benefit the whole of society, protect children today and into the future. The church can ensure that the decades-long scandal in your church is never allowed to happen again. Chair and Synod, thank you very much.
Thank you so much to those speakers, Jane, Roz and Jilo, for their powerful presentation.